Welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Sherry McConnell.
And I'm Chelsea Stratton.
And we are podcasting for Monday, September 7th. It's Labor Day, so happy Labor Day. And we have a lot to talk about today.
A lot of new stuff we've been working on and things we can finally share.
Exactly. So we're super excited. We will start with today's quilts and we take turns each week. I don't know if you've noticed, but it was my turn. And so I decided to focus on Balboa since this collection will be in the stores in just a few weeks, maybe even sooner. So I have on the wall my Carefree pattern with Balboa. And over on the ladder, you can see the Gelato Remix quilt at the top. I actually have a couple Happy Days quilts underneath it, the Seaside and the Beach House Row quilt.
Just peeking through.
Yes. But on the table, I have my Labor of Love sampler quilt made with Balboa. And
so pretty.
Thank you. This is one of my favorite quilts. I had it in a closet for a little while and got it out to put it on a bed, actually. And I just fell in love with it all over again. And the quilt along for this is going to begin September 30th.
Oh, fun.
So you need my Labor of Love Scrappy Quilts from the Heart of Home book. And then beginning on Wednesday, September 30th, I will post a free PDF for you to take the information from the book and use it to make the quilt for the sampler.
Awesome. So you'll need both to accompany each other. You'll need both.
Okay. The PDFs will be free. And there will be a finishing PDF. We'll finish up right before Christmas.
Fun.
Yeah. And the first week will be on a Wednesday because I wanted to start in September because I told everyone we were going to start in September. But after that, they will all release on Thursdays so that they don't conflict with Moda Blockheads.
Awesome. Yeah. This one's so pretty.
Yeah. I love this. And the quilting that Val did is just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm really excited Balboa is shipping this month. It feels like a long time since, you know, it first, we were sharing it. And so it's finally coming full circle and people will, my favorite part is seeing, you know, shops get it in, people, you know, buying it and making something out of it and sharing what they choose to make with it because their take is totally different than, you know, what we would do, you know? So it's fun to see all the projects on social media.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Okay, new find.
And it's so cute.
I'm so excited about this. I got this little caddy. I'll link it in the description. But it is perfect for my Quilting Life planner, which will be shipping next month. And then this is kind of another organizational book that I use and a third one. So it holds my notebooks. It holds my fun pens. I can clip something to the front with a Clover Wonder clip. And the great thing about this is I can take this with me into my sewing room or my office.
Yeah.
Or anywhere else in the house if I'm working on my planner or working on notes. So I was so excited to find this caddy.
It's so cute. I love that caddy. I think I need to get some for my girls for their homeschool stuff because I have
so portable.
And they can carry it themselves and put what they need to in here. And I like that it fits, you know, journal size or planner size books. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And thanks. I feel like you have more cute pens. Are these ones new too?
Those are new too. I really like, I use these a lot too. These are our highlighters and those are pens that I write with.
That's a nice size.
So yeah. And then we both have old favorites.
Yes.
So I'll do mine first and then Chelsea can do hers. So, and this is an old favorite. It's really new to me, but
it's so cute.
I have another one, so I put it in the old category. But this is my Dresden pincushion and thread catcher at the front of the table if you're watching. And if not, we'll throw up a picture. But it's made by Terry at Curry Bungalow on Etsy. And she does incredible work. And I just have to do a shout out for her beautiful work and her patterns. She sells them pre-made in her Etsy shop.
Or you can do custom.
Well, I did. Yeah, I sent her my fabric, but you can also buy the patterns if you want to make them yourself.
Oh.
But I found her the very last time I taught a class before the pandemic. A woman in my class, in one of my classes, had one of these, and I just fell in love with it. And she gave me the link to Terry's shop right during class. And as soon as I got home from that retreat I was teaching at, I emailed Terry and just absolutely love this. I have three of them now, one at each workstation in my sewing room. So
that wasn't a retreat we were at together, was it?
No.
What was the different one?
It was in Cedar City.
Oh. Yeah.
So.
No, it's so cute.
So anyway, I just love the pattern is so well written and
it's adorable. And
if you get one that's pre-made by Terry, they're
like perfection.
Amazing. Yes.
So my old favorite, I've been using this one, so that's why I'm sharing it. It is the Creative Grids half square 4-in-1 triangle ruler. And I have, we'll do a close up on that and link to it. But I have been using that to trim all of my triangles. So it makes it super, super nice because they come out perfectly. And that makes me happy while I'm quilting. So
yes.
So I'm doing a lot of trimming right now. And once that's done, then I'll be able to finish putting my very last Happy Days quilt together.
Yay.
But this one, I've shared all of my quilts on social media so far, but this one is just getting a facelift.
Yes. Yeah,
it's my all-American pattern that I'm redoing in Happy Days. So this is helping ease that sewing situation.
Yeah, and that was perfect. That moves us right into our next segment, What's New with Sherry and Chelsea. And Chelsea actually just released two of her new Happy Days patterns on Saturday. So I don't know if you want to tell everybody about those.
Okay, so today I released on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I released Botanical Garden, and we'll be able to link to those patterns in the show notes. It's a layer cake friendly quilt, and I'll have those on the next podcast to show. My mom actually pieced that one for me. Thank you, Mom. She totally saved me. And she gets to keep the quilt.
I'm so excited. It's hanging up. It's going to go on the wall today.
Because I just brought it back to you. So I released Botanical Garden. That one's really fun to make. And I have another pattern called Origami. It's fat quarter friendly. And it's kind of a bigger block quilt. And I know I've mentioned before on my social media that I love sometimes switching it up and doing a bigger block quilt to... Like sometimes I need smaller blocks and sometimes bigger blocks, but I'm excited. They're in my Etsy shop now, and I'll be sharing my other two patterns next Saturday. So
yeah,
yay.
And we can throw up pictures of those two quilts too.
And yeah, we'll have pictures and link to them in the show notes. And yeah. So
awesome.
That's what I'm super excited. So
We have a couple more things that are new with both of us. For one, Balboa is shipping soon. We kind of alluded to that a little bit earlier, but yes, it is shipping in September, and I keep looking because I have some on order, and it hasn't shipped yet, it's showing arrival in Dallas this week. So I'm hoping that it within another week or so, or
I think you mentioned that
sometimes they're late, but hopefully by the, you know, end of the month, you'll have your Balboa in hand.
Yes.
So I am also working on a blog post for the Balboa solids the Bella solids that coordinate with the Balboa fabric. So,
which is really great because it just helps to incorporate those solids. Super, super great way to incorporate those into a project is just by matching those, and it makes it easier if you know the exact Bella number. So,
Okay. And then the Moda U, the signups begin tomorrow. I talked about that in the last podcast.
Yeah.
And so I have a direct link that I will put in the description that you can click on that direct link to go and sign up for my class for the Family Tree Pillow. And I can't, do I have it sitting over there? Or?
Do you? Right here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this one? Oh, yes.
Yeah. So this is the class I'm teaching for the Martingale U. Did I say Moda U? I hope I didn't. It's Martingale U.
You did. It's Martingale.
Okay. So Martingale U. And so this is the class I'll be teaching. And there will be a limited number of kits available. And those go up for sale tomorrow as well. And so that direct link that we'll put in the post will take you to where you can purchase the class, and you have the option to take the class with or without the kit. So, so that's happening tomorrow. And then the Labor of Love Quilt Along that we also mentioned that earlier, that begins September 30th.
Yeah.
So, and then the last thing we wanted to share is Moda is doing a huge promotion right now with Honey Buns. And I don't know if you're on social media, you might have seen lots of different Moda designers and friends of Moda and anyone who wants to join in.
Yep, anyone can join.
So it's just a free pattern tutorial from Moda. They wrote this great pattern that it's almost addicting. And I've made 10 blocks. I can't stop. And I'm using it as my Leaders and Enders project. So in between sewing other things, I'm sewing these strips together. Oh. So, and I also did a quick video to show you how to make these blocks that we can link to.
And I notice you have them in Happy Days and Balboa, which makes me so happy because I've heard a couple people mention, oh, well, will Happy Days kind of mesh with Balboa? Yeah. And they really do. Like at first glance, you're probably like, oh, those collections are very different, and they are.
Right.
But they still they work well together. So,
oh yeah. I have some Harper's Garden in here.
Oh, I have, yay. I didn't even notice that.
Clover Hollow mixed with Walkabout.
Oh, fun.
I've just mixed all, and this is the front porch mixed with Happy Days. So
it's great to use your scraps and.
Yeah. I've just been mixing. I'm thinking about making a king size quilt with these.
Oh my goodness. So. Well, you'll have to keep us updated.
Yeah.
I feel like a king size quilt is so daunting to me. I don't know why. I need to make one for my bed.
Yeah, you should. But I just have that one yeah. that I made a long time ago.
It's a patriotic quilt and it was king size. So my mom was like, well, you need a quilt for your bed. And I'm like, yeah, I do. Can I just have one? And she gave me one and it's on year round. And now I'm like, oh, I need to make a new one. But it is like kind of a daunting task. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason I never made her one that wasn't is because she could never decide on fabric. I kept asking her, I'll make you a quilt for your bed if you, but now she can make her own.
Yep. I know. I have no excuse.
So
I just have to mention, I'm really loving the swivel chairs. I don't know if you guys noticed, we've had a few updates in the podcast room, but I also want to mention, it really is like a family thing because my brother,
brother.
It's weird to say that, but he actually does all the videos for us and does all the technical work and everything for the videos. So we walked in today and he had swivel chairs for us, which I was little kid in me was like, "Yay, swivel chairs!"
He actually. Oh, that was Dad?
Oh, it was Dad? Oh, fun. Well, Dad gets credit too.
Yeah, and we are hoping that we can have a third microphone so that Billy can add his 2 cents in every once in a while too.
Yeah, that will be nice for him. Oh, and speaking of that, actually, going back to new things, I don't have an exact date yet, but soon I will have some new videos on my mom's YouTube channel of, I had a few people that were maybe wanting a sewing room tour video. And I'll also have a new video to share on your YouTube with my new quilts when they're all done.
Yeah.
So you guys can look forward to those. Billy and I will be shooting those soon. Yeah. So we're excited about that.
But, great.
Yeah.
Because do you have 3 of your quilts back now?
3 of them are done.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll actually need to borrow Botanical again.
Okay.
Just for that, but All American is the very last one.
Okay.
So hopefully I can get that to our quilter, Marion. Soon. Marion, yay!
So.
Soon.
Great.
All right, should we go into some listener questions?
Yeah. So the first one, I had to laugh. In fact, I moved this one first because.
Oh, on purpose.
On purpose. Because I have such a story with this one.
Oh.
I tend to keep repeating familiar patterns. Any tips on how to break out of that? And that was so me. When I first started, my grandmother taught me how to make the double Irish chain quilt in a day. And I just kept making that quilt. I made the first one for Billy. And then I made one for Candace and Chelsea. And then I made a whole bunch. I remember making one for one of my nephews when he was born, Braxton.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I
didn't know that.
Yeah. And then I made for friends that were having babies. I made a ton of baby quilts. And then I did. Well, my grandmother had pieced one, a queen size for my aunt, that then my aunt decided on a different color palette or something. So my grandmother gave it to me and I tied it and used it for a while. I think Candace has it now, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I made that. I did that, finished that queen size. And I just kept making, and then I did a lap size that I wanted a multi-generational with my grandmother. So I pieced it and she hand quilted it. And I just kept making that pattern. So that just sounded completely like this reader question.
And because it was familiar, it was just easy to turn to that pattern.
Right.
So
right.
You knew how to make it. You probably had just memorized exactly
pretty much
how to make it.
Yeah. And so she asked for tips how to break out of that. And I'll tell you how I did it. And what I did was I went to a quilt shop one day and signed up for a block of the month. And that was what got me out of that double Irish chain.
Yeah. And what's really cool is for new quilters who are maybe listening in or looking for something like that, you have one that you're doing this year. Is that right?
Yeah. You can find them.
You can find them anywhere.
So many places. Just,
yeah.
So I would just really suggest sign up for a block of the month from a quilt shop or do an online.
To learn new techniques and things and ease into it. I think that's probably the best part about that.
Right. And I think, you know, when I look back at that first project that I did, some of those blocks are really bad. I was just learning new techniques and I wasn't very good at them. But that's part of my quilting journey. And it did help me break out of the slump of just making one quilt pattern.
I really like that you said that, because I actually have a whole box of quilts like that, that I feel like I'm afraid to get them quilted because they're not up to par with how I feel they should look. But it was really a learning experience and journey. And like, we can't all be perfect when we start something new. And I really was like, you know, just learning new things all the time. So they're still in my closet. Maybe I'll be brave enough to get them quilted for quilts for forts. Or
yes, you should play time. Yeah. So the next one, I think we both probably have some input on this. How do you manage a stash that has lots of different collections that don't seem to go together? Do you want to take the...
So I really, when I first read this question, I'm such like, I love scrappy quilts. I've made a few that I really love. And I still, no matter what, I put my scraps... I take that back. I have a couple of separate boxes that are specific designers of scraps for them. But for the most part, I just separate everything by color in those plastic bins that I have. And I feel like different shades of every color do go together. That's how I feel. So as long as they're yellow, they're in the yellow box. And I put them together in a project or a quilt. And I love that. I love a variation. But that's how I store mine, and I have them mixed with different collections, but I do put them by color.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I keep all of my holiday fabrics separated for sure.
Yes, I do that too.
So 4th of July, Christmas, fallish Halloween type.
Yeah.
I keep those separated, and then I keep ours separated too, because I like to be able to easily make a quilt with just previous collections that we have. But everything else is pretty much by color, like Chelsea said.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like you can make, you know, I have a few scrap quilts and ones that have been done on exchanges. And sometimes you look at it and if you look really close, oh, this fabric is really ugly and it doesn't seem to go. But if you look at the big picture of the quilt, it really does work. So,
yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I think they really do end up meshing together, which is great. So
yeah,
that was a great question.
Yeah. And I think sometimes just don't, if there's something,
don't overthink it.
Yeah. Don't overthink it. But if there are fabrics that you really don't like, just go ahead and donate them.
Yeah.
There are so many people that would be grateful for a fabric donation.
Yeah.
So
Most helpful quilting tools. seam ripper.
Seam ripper. Yes.
Rotary. Rotary cutter.
Yeah.
Cutting mat. Rulers.
Rulers in different sizes. Yes. Small rulers for when you're working on small blocks.
They have specific rulers for specific things. Mm-hmm. But I have them readily on hand because I'm always like, where's that ruler? I need that right now. And yeah. So
I feel like we both use the Simple Folded Corners ruler by Doug Leko a lot.
A lot.
That's.
Yeah. I don't think it's a mystery. I love an easy corner method. So I use that one all the time.
Yeah. The Soline pencil that I mentioned in the last podcast, I use every day. Diagonal seam tape.
Oh my goodness. I cannot talk about that enough. I actually just, I don't have to replace mine often, which is great. It really lasts. It lasts a long time because I have used regular washi tape before and it does not stick the same as Allison's diagonal seam tape. Yeah. I love it. It's my favorite product. It really is.
Yeah.
And it saves me so much time. I mean, I used to sit down and draw lines with a pencil every single time. On hundreds of squares, which takes a lot of time. And I don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
So then I just get to do the fun part. I get to sew.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you brought that one up.
And then I was going to mention too, in my planner, which is shipping next month in October, I do have a few different pages in the back where I list my favorite Notions, my favorite rulers, my favorite books. So if you're getting the planner, you'll get to see all that.
Then you can write them down.
So they're all kind of listed there for you. So, yeah. Okay. I think we covered our most favorite.
There's like so many basics that you need, but like my favorite ones.
Start with the basics and then keep adding to your collection.
Get a sewing machine.
Oh, I guess a sewing machine would be number
one. We need a sewing machine, you guys.
Okay. Do you have tips for accuracy when sewing with jelly rolls?
So sometimes I really like to quilt fast. I like to put the pedal to the metal, you guys. And since I got my Juki, it's a way more powerful machine. And so I was kind of like surprised at first when I was sewing with it because I'm like, yes, I am just zooming through these quilts. But you can lose accuracy if you're not, paying attention. And so I really make sure that I'm being just cautious and making sure everything's on my line I just think being aware. For me, it's just like kind of natural. I'm either like watching a show or listening to a podcast or just making sure everything's lined up and holding it and I can just go for a while. So,
yeah, I think the thing with sewing with jelly rolls in this question is that they have those pinked edges. The Moda pinked edges are different than other manufacturer pinked edges. Some of the other manufacturers have really deep pinked edges. And to me, those are more difficult to sew with. With those other, if it's not Moda, I would trim those 2.5-inch strips before I sew because there's just a lot of variation in them. And I don't know, it's been a while since I've sewed, but some of the companies are slightly larger, I feel like, than 2.5 inches. But with the Moda, I can always sew with the outer pinked edge, the most outer part of it. And it is the 2.5 inches, my 1/4-inch seam comes out right. And you can measure it. And maybe because I feel like some people might be sewing with that inner part of the pinked edge.
Yeah.
So I think once you figure out where you're sewing and just do a few tests.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because the same for me, I've never had to trim those off.
I never trim the motor.
Any of the pre-cuts, because you'll notice it on the mini charms, the charms,
the layer, and the layer cakes. Right.
Yeah.
I use the outer part of the pinked edge and I have never had a problem. So
I also think just like obviously pressing, when you're pressing those strips, my quilter taught me this. It's the same as pressing a border. you know, you don't want to, you know, push and warp those strips,
right?
Because then on strips, you notice it a lot when you have those 2.5-inch strips or honey buns.
Right.
You notice it. So you just want to make sure that you're right. not overdoing it or.
Right. You don't want to introduce that curve into yes. it by. Yeah. And I actually have a video on that, how to press strip sets on the YouTube channel.
Of course you do. So.
But we've made a lot of videos during the pandemic.
You have.
Okay. Jinx. So finishing up with jelly rolls and moving on to what about pressing with or without steam?
You have the amazing iron, Mom. Tell us all the secrets.
I love my steam iron. Actually, the first, I have a little story about this actually too. The first time I've always used steam, I feel like. I haven't had a ton of irons that have all broken. Not the one I have now. It's been great. But I went over and sewed with Camille Ross Kelly one day when I feel like you were probably in high school, maybe.
Oh, no.
I don't know. It was a while ago. But I know for sure Sean was still at home. But because I remember I had to get back for him to come home from school or something. But anyway, she had this amazing iron that had this great steam. And when I went home, everything that I had sewn at Camille's house was amazing and more accurate. And I was just incredulous. I was like, it was her iron. It had nothing to do with my sewing.
Yeah.
And so I am just devoted to steam. And the iron I have is a little pricey. I kind of resisted buying it at first, but I had sewn on it at two different retreats.
And you loved it.
And then it was the only thing. And it makes a huge difference, I feel like.
I feel like I laugh every time I see it, though, because it's like its own person. It's so big.
Yeah. And I've had people comment and tell me that they keep it in one of those little rolling carts so it doesn't take up so much space on their ironing board. But I have a pretty big ironing board, so I feel like I have room for it just right at the end of the board. But I love steam. Steam, I'm all the way
steam. She loves steam,
yes.
guys.
Okay. So,
no, I think I might need to invest someday because, I mean, if you notice such a big difference, then.
Okay. And then starching fabric. So this question was actually a little bit longer and I didn't include everything, but she wanted to know at what point do you starch and a lot of that. And so we did talk about it before, but we didn't kind of clarify it. And so I just want to let everyone know that you definitely want to starch and iron your fabrics before you cut anything out because there could be a little bit of shrinkage.
Yeah.
If you're using especially a more heavy starch. So you want to do that before you cut out the pieces. And the other thing she asked was if all of the pieces that you're sewing need to be starched. For example, do you just starch the print fabrics, does that mean you have to starch the background fabrics? And I would say yes. If you're starching something in a block, everything in that block should be starched.
Should be the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I feel like we have mentioned before too, like of course with smaller piecing, I am going to starch 100%. It makes it so much easier and you're not going to get frayed edges.
Right.
So that makes it nice.
Yeah. So and again, some people starch absolutely everything. Yeah. Marion, who quilts for us, starches everything she sews.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Favorite or most useful small projects you've made or received?
This was great question.
I feel like you have a lot of these projects.
So I really like all of my little sewing bags that I keep. You know, I have a little bag that I keep Wonder Clips in and a little bag that I keep my hexagon paper pieces in. I have a lot of just nifty little bags that people have made me or that I've made that I really like.
Yeah. You always make like the cutest like pillows and wall hangs and
little pillows are great. Pot holders are great. I love a handmade pot holder.
Yeah. You're making you're making a wall hanging out of botanical. Is that what you told me yesterday?
Yeah, I want to do 3 blocks with her botanical to put on the wall of my
sewing
really room.
I'm really excited. It's going to be really pretty.
Yeah, I'm actually going to use Balboa. Marion and I talked about this. So
Yeah, she mentioned that.
I'm going to mix the citrine from Happy Days for the stems.
Okay.
But my flowers are all going to be from Balboa.
Oh, fun. Yeah. That'll be so pretty. I can't wait to see that.
So, yeah, mug rugs, placemats, or my grandmother used to make.
Placemats for
every Christmas.
Oh, we loved them.
Everybody in the family would have these soft packages, and they had placemats in them. And she made a lot of pillows, too.
But, yeah.
Placemats are super useful. Mug rugs.
Yeah.
So
I feel like I need the placemats more often now with my kids.
Yeah.
Get a placemat.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. I like that you mentioned the bags because I use them for makeup. I use them for colored pencils. I use them for, you know, sewing notions. I keep, you know, all my scissors in one and just everything. I have one that like is the most used items while I'm sewing, and that way I know where they all are.
Right.
So thank you for making them for me.
Oh, you're welcome. And sew together bags are great too.
Yes.
A little bit more work for those. Put them together, but they're super helpful. So, okay. This one was a really good one. How do you decide on borders, whether or not to add, and what size to make them?
Okay. I love a border on a quilt, and I think I put a border on most all of my quilt pattern. So I'm going to talk about two things. So a lot of times you'll notice I do a background, like tone on tone for the border. And that for me just separates the blocks a little bit from the edge of the quilt. And so you'll notice that I do that a lot. But whereas my mom's Carefree pattern right here on the wall, she has used, you know, a print fabric and it looks so pretty. So I love doing both. I love using a large floral for a border. Mm-hmm. And I think just, I mean, I don't think I've gone larger than like a 3.5-inch unfinished border strip, but have you done larger ones than that?
Well, I
like,
feel
a big border.
I feel like the bigger the quilt, the bigger the border can be proportionally.
Yeah. So, yeah, you have to proportion the size of it to your quilt.
Right. And I do like a narrow border like we have here.
Yeah.
To kind of offset and separate from the outer border, which is larger. But I feel like, you know, I just look at it. I usually design everything digitally before I sew it.
And, so you can see.
Right. But I've noticed that I never, sometimes when I'm sewing, I make it larger. I've never made it smaller.
Oh, okay.
And so, in fact, for a while, I was getting ready to start sewing, and I was cutting everything bigger all the time. And so I finally just made myself a note, don't add those smaller borders unless it's a mini quilt or lap quilt. So
yeah, I like that.
So I've been kind of going with anything bigger than a lap quilt. I've been cutting them at least 4.
Whoa.
I have. Okay. I've been cutting them at 4.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I might have to switch it up.
So in the inner borders, I usually vary between cutting at 1.5 or 2 inches.
Yeah.
So.
And I love a border that will show off a really fun print. Like, you know, we tend to do larger florals or medium sized florals. You can do both, but it's just fun to show those off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So great question.
Yeah.
What do you watch or listen to while you sew?
Well, I had mentioned, I think our very first podcast, I had mentioned I was watching Heartland, but I finished that a long time ago. I mainly right now, I'm listening to music. And I don't put my headphones in. I keep it like on a night home just so like I want to be able to hear my kids. So I don't know. I'm not really watching any shows right now. I'm actually just listening to music right now. So it just,
Yeah, I go back and forth between music and podcasts. A lot of the podcasts I listen to on a regular basis, I feel like they air on Mondays.
Oh,
so at the beginning of the week, I'm listening to all my podcasts.
Getting caught up.
Yeah, Essentialism and just kind of getting caught up on the podcast. And then towards the end of the week, I will listen to music in the sewing room. But if I'm doing hand sewing at night, I'm usually watching television. Been watching Golden Knights hockey a lot lately. I've been binding quilts to the hockey games. And I'm really behind the times, everyone. Like,
I'm so excited you're going to say this.
I didn't watch all these shows when they first came out because I was too busy with my kids. And so, for instance, I watched The Office, all 9 seasons at the beginning of this year, January, February. What did The Office after?
And it cracks me up so much because she's like, so we're watching The Office. And I'm like, what? You're watching The Office? Yeah. Like, very taken aback by that.
So, yeah. So when
I'm
did that?
I'm glad you're catching up, Mom.
That started, what, 2000?
It's a silly show.
I don't know. But now I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
This one makes me smile.
So I'm much. Almost done with season 5, and I feel like I didn't start it that long ago.
No, you didn't.
But it's because I've had all these quilts to bind and so many grandmother's flower garden blocks to make. So,
well, I'll tell you a funny story. I had called Mom one night, and she was like, Chelsea, you literally called me 2 minutes before the mid-season finale is like... Like, I'm in the middle of this, and it's very intense. And I'm like, okay, I'll call you back. So I did. I called her back. But I was cracking up because I had watched Grey's Anatomy when my kids were younger. And I would, you know, be up late with them at night, rocking them to sleep or whatever, and just have it on. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
You watched it before.
It cracks me up so much. Oh, Mom.
So... Okay, quilting on a budget. I think we both have things that we can say about this. I know when I first started quilting, I had 3 kids when I really started. I didn't have my 4th yet when I started quilting. And, you know, it was my husband wasn't just, you know, early in his career. And it was, I didn't have money to spend on fabric.
Yeah.
And I was blessed that my grandmother was a quilter. And so she would, you know, share her stash with me sometimes. And then sometimes if we saw her at a family gathering, she would slip me like $25.
What?
And she would say, this is for fabric.
Oh my goodness, grandma. So,
because she knew that she had started me on this expensive hobby. And she always tried to be really fair. But she would slip me that money and say, don't tell anybody. This is for fabric.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, but yeah, and I feel like when I first started also, pre-cuts were just really just starting to come out from Moda. And so charm packs were great because you could get a charm pack for under $10 and put just a little bit of fabric with it and make a great project. And it was just... You know, and when I think about it now, it wasn't just that it was a budget thing. You really learn how to work with colors and putting things together by working on small projects.
And it's nice because you have the whole collection in that. And so you have everything to work with.
Right. And at the time, Carrie Nelson was publishing her Snibbles patterns. And they were little patterns that used charm packs. And so the patterns were less expensive, the charm packs. And I probably made 25 or 30 of those, maybe more, but I feel like that's a great way if you're on a budget to just do small projects and work with those smaller pieces and get ideas for later.
I'm just going to mention the portion of it of how important I think it is to keep a budget because you don't need to buy everything all at once. It's fun. It can be hard because sometimes multiple collections are shipping in the same month and you're like, well, what do I want to make first? And we talked about this in the last podcast. I would just say, you know, stick to your budget and make that one project that you're focused on for, you know, that time. And, you know, I think it is important to stick to one.
Yeah. And watch for sales.
Watch for sales.
So many shops and retailers have wonderful sales. And just watch for those. Keep your eye on things. I know my mom has been wanting to make some Christmas things. And she's got some underlying health issues. And she's older. So she's really being careful about where she goes and what she does. And so she finally... called her local shop and said, hey, I want to do some Christmas sewing. I can't come into the shop. What do you have anything? And so this wonderful shop owner she took pictures of some of her Clarins Christmas fabric and sent them to my mom. And so she was able to pick out the fabrics that she wanted.
Oh, awesome.
And the shop owner gave her a great deal on them, because when my mom told me what she paid per yard, I was like, that's wonderful. You got a great deal. So, and she didn't have to leave her house. And the shop owner was probably happy to.
Yeah.
To
have business, and especially during this time. And
yeah. So.
Oh, good. I'm so happy.
Yeah. I was super glad to hear about that.
Oh, yay.
So I think we're probably good. I think that last question, I feel like we talked about it last week. So I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tip of the day.
I feel like, again, today we gave a lot of tips. Yeah. And I don't have like a specific one, but I thought the questions were really great and can be, you know, attributed it to a tip of the day.
Yeah. So we did get lots of reviews after last week's podcast. We really appreciate them. And it's fun to go through and read them on Apple. And we're just going to share two. I'll read the first one. I love from DMAGMO. I love listening to this podcast because I can understand it. There are apparently a lot of vocab terms to learn when starting out on my quilting journey. And these ladies are so easy to listen to. I actually cut some fabric incorrectly, worried that the whole project would be trash, and the next thing they talked about was running out of fabric. I don't feel like a foreigner in a strange land like I do when reading some blogs or watching some tutorials. Love it, ladies. Rock on.
Oh, she's so sweet.
Thank you.
Rock on to you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. So this second review is from Ashley. Oh my goodness. These two very kind souls are such a joy to listen to. I met them through my job and have loved getting to know them ever since. Their podcasts bring calmness, peace, and joy. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, Ashley.
We love you.
Thank you for all the reviews. So,
yeah, we really, really appreciate them. And yeah. So, thank you so much.
Yeah. So, our next episode is going to be 2 weeks from now.
Yep. September 21st, that one will release. And this one will, we're just a couple days early again on this one. So right. Monday, September 7th. And
right.
Yeah.
So, and we really appreciate everything as always. We appreciate you for listening, for leaving the reviews and
for questions,
sending the questions,
you know, for, yeah, just whether you're, you know, listening in on your favorite subscriber or watching us on YouTube, we really appreciate it and love everyone's feedback so much. Yeah. So
thanks for stopping by.